This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Nate Land Podcast. I'm Nate Bargatze, Aaron Weber, Brian Bates are both dead. Oh. That's always it. That's how people know that we had to record this one. Had to pre-record it. Otherwise, and I mean, look,
you're in a pretty good mood to start out that podcast. You're in a pretty good mood starting out.
Well, who knows? Y'all both might be dead by the time this comes out. You know, and we're gonna be so maybe this is a farewell episode. Brian and the squirrels finally came to, squirrels got him.
Yep.
And then gout was
spread.
As after your baseball throw, and that's when you go, felt weird off the mound.
Yeah.
You never have pushed off in that direction.
Right.
And so when you push off the mound, you were like, I felt something. I felt a sensation. You feel, does gout have a sensation?
Pain, probably.
Is it like your foot feels dead?
No, it just hurts real bad.
Like it's just sore.
I don't even think I really have gout, so I don't know if I know exactly how it feels.
Don't ruin it for everybody. Everybody wants you to have gout.
I don't think I'm really old. I just think people misconstrue that.
That one's tougher to hide.
Yeah. That'll be ridiculous.
I think I have a full head of hair. Yeah.
What's the matter with you? Jerry, what's the matter with you?
Hey, Firestorm's good. My buddy Jerry's seen it.
Firestorm's good. He'll talk to you. What's the matter with you? Firestorm. Such a good name. All right. This week, since we did, we got some comments to start it off. Some very general comments. Peter Sneddon. I love how the chat between you all is clean, but still brutal. I'm a Scottish police officer, and like comics, we are ruthless to each other, so your humor is right up my street. Yeah, I see. I like that, too, because it is. It's all it is like being, that's the best idea about being clean, too, is you can be clean, and it doesn't have to have this stigma on it, you know? It's like, yeah, dude, you're just not cursing.
Right. It's not just all dad jokes and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's puns what sometimes and, what people yeah. kind of think, and you're like, no, it's just, I just don't curse, like. You know, but yeah, cops, I'd imagine. I mean, Scottish police officer, they're not even allowed to have guns, right? What do they have?
Batons.
Do they?
Is that true?
I mean, I think we're the only country where the police are as armed as
really?
As they are. I mean, yeah.
No, they have to have something.
Look, they got people that can come in, but like,
so you don't just type regular in Scottish, do Scottish police have guns? The thing that we're, you just thought you're going to eyeball it. You just figured you got a magic book there that answers every question and you kind of vaguely dive into it.
Most police officers in Scotland don't carry guns.
There you go.
How do they do it? Yeah. And then they have to read.
And make them listen to the Nate Lane episode.
They're ruthless to each other.
Yeah. They're ruthless to you. You just sitting back. John Goad. This week at work, a guy walked past me and a buddy on the way in. He got a little ways away, turned around and said, "Hello, folks." Remembering the secret greeting of the folks, I probably yelled back, "Let's go, folks." He kind of laughed and kept walking. I asked him later how long he's been listening to Nate Land. He looked at me blankly and said, "What's that?" He's never heard the podcast, and he clarified that he said, "Slow pokes." At least it was a fun story. Keep up the good work. That's funny. Slow pokes. That's funny. Let's go, folks.
He got it.
He got it. He gets it. Nick Mobley. I personally enjoy when you guys deep dive into the mechanics and process of stand-up. When creating a title for a special or a tour, do most comics try to connect the title to their content or theme for that show? Well, this one, The Greatest Average American, came out. Then we talk about it on here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that title, The Greatest Average American, which is something I've always said, and then I just talked about it here. And then when Netflix, when we were kind of thinking of a title, they are trying to think. If you're Bill Burr and you're the top comic working, I mean, if I wanted a fight, if I was like, hey, I want this title to be, you know, whatever it is, I could probably fight for the title. But I mean, you talk to Netflix too, to go, they look at it as like an algorithm kind of thing. And so you're trying to come up with a title that's the Tennessee Kid was like, all right, you would get what that. Before you click it, because they're betting, not everybody's going to know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Versus Bill Burr, you're probably there because you're a Bill Burr fan.
Yeah,
and so his title can be kind of whatever it wants, because it's like, you know, we're basically just lucky to have him put this special out with us. And for me, they kind of go, like, look, if I raised a fit about it and I was like, no, the title has to be, like, if I went crazy, I'm sure they would be like, okay.
Yeah.
But I go into it a little more like, well, I'm going to listen to them. And they look at it as like the Tennessee Kid is like, before they click it, you go, oh, I get what this is. The Greatest Average American is, I think, the best title.
Mm-hmm.
That's like one that you might be like, oh, what is this? Like, mm-hmm. You know, let me see this.
Yeah, I used to always think it had to be something from the show, a joke, but that's not the case.
No, a lot of times, there was times, I think people do that, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of people would do that, and I thought when I first started, I would do it. When I did Full-Time Magic or Yelled Out by a Clown, those were both something in the thing, but I felt like those titles would kind of work. So sometimes you are getting to the joke, and it's like, oh, that's why it's called this.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing's kind of disconnected. You don't know why. Maybe you're going to see why they called it that.
Yeah.
But the way we've been going with this now with Netflix, it's kind of like, it's just kind of like, what's that word, encapsulates? Is that it?
I think so, yeah.
Just like the person you're watching, like, you know, I'm Tennessee Kid. I'm just from Tennessee. And you're mm-hmm. like, okay. And then you watch it, you're like, yeah, that guy's from Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like you're, you know, and so it's like that kind of thing.
What's the next step? You go from Tennessee to America.
Oh, yeah.
Are you the... World's,
ooh, I haven't thought of it like
world's
that.
Best comedian.
I might be Pluto's number three comedian on Pluto.
Is it Jim Gaffigan? Is one of his Mr. Universe?
He was Mr. Universe.
Yeah.
So that's a good title.
Yeah.
You just gotta. It just comes. Like it just ends up. The Greatest Average American is. I was very happy with that one. But you know, my tour, I can do whatever I want. So the tour was called Good Problem to Have Tour, which was, I try to have a joke about that, but I never did. I never could, maybe I will one day, but I've been trying to mess with it. I can't figure out how to do it. It hasn't clicked yet. And then this tour that's out now that I'm doing now, the Rain Check Tour, and that was just, it was like, and then our, the poster is very cool. It's a windshield wiper.
Mm-hmm.
People see it. But the Rain Check Tour was just because like we got a lot of new dates, but a lot of these dates are rescheduled COVID dates.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like, it's just a play on that,
mm-hmm.
you know. But yeah. Noah O. No last name. My girlfriend went into labor, and on the way to the hospital, she couldn't stand the sound of her own agonizing groans, so she told me to put on some background noise. I came to YouTube and clicked on the first podcast in my Watch Later playlist, and after 20 minutes of watching Nate Land, she asked me, what are they even talking about? The only response I could think of in the moment was, well, I mean, nothing, really. Needless to say, she looked confused and went back to groaning, dealing the pain. And I went back to listening to the best podcast about nothing. Thanks for the many laughs, guys. Welcome your child to the earth.
Yeah, congrats.
I love that he went back to listening to
her. Yeah, well, she doesn't get it, you know?
I'm stepping out, finishing this episode. Yeah.
Goodbye, folk.
Goodbye, folk. Yeah. He goes down. He goes, so my ex-girlfriend, my baby mama, and you're like, oh, what happened? You should have said at the end of it. So my baby mama went back to groaning because we broke up. And This lady I was in the room with is having a baby. They had, we were just talking about this weekend, Laura's sister, stepsister, Jenny, with her son, Dalton. He's in a band. He plays in the band at high school. And so one day they like went to their back to their band camp, and their band teacher started playing my special. And so he was like, are y'all doing this as like a joke or something? And they were like, no, they didn't know. And so the guy didn't know that, like, wow. I mean, that's my nephew. Like,
yeah.
So Dalton, so we took a picture yesterday to show him that it was real. But I told Dalton, this is the version. I told Dalton I'm gonna come to his class. I was like, I'll tell everybody how we became family. Cause I was when Dalton was born. He's 16 now.
Yeah.
And we walked in, his mom was like, they're about to give birth. I'm dating Laura. Like, we're not married. And I don't know. I go in the room. I thought we were like, oh, they had the baby. We go in the room. I don't know. Like, I'm not even in this family yet. And then I walk in. You're like, oh, she's about to have the baby.
Man.
And so I'm like, I don't think I'm supposed to be. And I just like remember just like kind of hitting the wall and just kind of being like trying to get out of the curtain. I was like, this is, I'm not supposed to be just in this.
Yeah.
Like, why am I in here? Like, I just was following people along. Like the line, like you just follow the line. Oh, we go in here now?
Do you have scrubs on or like the thing on?
Yeah, no, I was just like
street clothes.
Like me, just like a regular guy walking in.
Jeans with shorts underneath?
Yeah. I mean, at that time I did. Rubber bands on my hand. And they think, oh, that guy's got gloves on. I go, no, they're rubber bands. And I just sit there and
stayed? And then, did you just go do this?
Yeah.
Have to look?
I was like, oh, yeah, we're already, okay. Like, you know, everybody was in and out of there.
Hey, the Vandy game's on. Would you mind?
Yeah. You guys aren't, you're not watching TV, right? You're not paying attention to it, at least. You don't care what's
on. We'll put it on mute.
Yeah. So Dalton's band director. I was there before he came out.
Wow.
I've been there since his whole life. Tyler Brown. I just got back from a road trip with my wife and four kids where we drove from California to North Carolina and back. Good night. Listen to Nate Barf Burp and Chum Lee from Pawn Stars.
Oh, bro.
Man. I don't know who that is.
I don't know.
Well.
I don't think it's going to be good. It was the best way to pass the time that we could have asked for. It was the only thing we listened to that the whole family agreed on. My question is this. Do I continue listening every week or do I bank up the episodes for the next year when we make the same 74-hour drive? What a, y'all got to be, that's very funny.
He nailed it.
He's since lost. He's
in hospital.
He's lost weight too?
He's lost a bunch of weight, man.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Good
for
him.
He was real big for a while.
What are you in for, gout? Yeah, me too. What a drive.
Oh, yeah, actually looks like
that's a fun drive. Wife and four kids. Poof.
Wow.
I mean, that's a strong family.
Yeah, I'd say listen now, and then you might want to listen again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, bank them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to do that, so you can have 74-hour drive. Do they just go there and touch and then get in the car and go back? Can you imagine getting to North Carolina, and then you go, we got to do that again?
Yeah.
It's going to be two. Once the kids get, once they're like, can fly alone, they're going to be like, Dad, can you just buy us a ticket back?
Mm-hmm.
I'll do half the drive with you. He's like, no, we got to do it together.
74 hours.
Go appreciate America. That's a story you can just see his kids later in life being like,
yeah.
How was it growing up? You're like, my dad made us drive. Every year we drove across the country and back.
Yeah, we had to listen to this.
And people are going to be like, what? Listen to this podcast.
Yeah, this nonsense.
Nate Land podcast. I don't know why it's called that. He's not even on it anymore. And then still, I'm gone. I died actually. Like, there's
just me and me and Aaron.
Just you and Aaron. This chair is empty.
You remember in Wayne's World when Wayne quit right before they came back? And then, did you ever see the Wayne's World movie?
I did not.
Oh, all right. Did you?
No,
all right,
sorry.
Never mind. Yeah. We'll move on.
Hey, it's been a while.
Well, Wayne quits right before they come back from break.
Yeah.
He like gets in there and leaves. So then, Garth. Dana Carvey, who never says anything, has to host the show.
Yeah.
And he's just very nervous. It would be like if you laugh all of a sudden.
I think I've seen that scene.
Then me and Aaron just have to carry it and we just look at each other.
Ugh. What's going on? That's the Kramer, Merv Griffin.
Yeah.
You know, when I buy the cereal from the bottom and put it in the box, I can't taste the difference. He goes, this show's really hit rock bottom.
Officially at rock bottom.
Yeah.
It's like wax beans or something.
No, does he say wax beans?
Yeah, or? I think it's that instead of cereal.
Yeah. He goes, that ripped the label off. I can't tell the difference. He goes, this show's hit rock bottom. He goes, when you ever think about a co-host, I pretend I didn't hear that. He yanks that cord. That pops him in the mouth.
Yep.
And he actually, you see him like, it cuts him. He rips his cord. When Kramer pulls the cord out, the cord, it's the Merv Griffin episode, great episode, mm-hmm. and pops and hits him in the lip. And I think I've watched him talk about it. Like, and it, I mean, it like busted his
got
lip.
Got him for real.
It got him. You see him like go, but he just plows through.
He did that on the episode, I think it's the mall garage, whatever it's called, where they can't run the car, and he's putting the air conditioner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he pops him there too.
Yeah, I remember that. He pops, you know. Well, that's when they all sit and they start starting the car and the car won't start. They all start laughing.
Yeah.
And so if you see it, you see them all turn away from the camera because they're all like.
So that wasn't supposed to happen.
I don't think so.
I don't think it was. I mean, I think it was supposed to start.
Yeah. And then it was, and so they did it. But he wanted to carry the full weight of, they were like, just carry a box around. And he goes, no, I want to carry the actual weight of the thing because it's funnier. All right.
Someone said that.
I hope they got the Brown family through Pennsylvania. Maybe that got them through Rhode Island. They just blasted through Rhode Island. Now they're like, we're already out of Rhode Island. Oh, no.
I was going to say, we commented about how we have so many Seinfeld comments. A couple people said Tuesdays with Stories with Joe List and Mark Norman. They have a ton.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're both. We always would talk about Seinfeld together. Yeah. And so we'd always text about it. Me, Joe, and Norman we would text just like one line of Seinfeld. I mean, I've talked about Seinfeld with Joe and Mark more than probably anybody. Who's another, Sal Vacano.
Big Seinfeld guy.
And could just talk. We could, talk about it all day. We love it. Jen S. Break. I was watching this Tonight Show a few years ago when you were on there. I thought, wow, he has the same last name as my 8th grade homeroom teacher at Coopertown Elementary School. When you start talking about working at Opryland in Tennessee, I thought, he kind of looks like my 8th grade teacher. I paused my TV, went and dug out my yearbook. Sure enough, there you were in Miss Wilson's 3rd grade class. Look at that.
How about that?
Coopertown. I went there, I think, second and third grade or third and fourth grade.
Who is this teacher, your dad?
My dad taught there. And so my dad taught there for a while. And so she was going there when I was in third grade. I only went 2 grades to Coopertown. But my dad taught there for a long time. I mean, my dad, they could paddle. That was back when they could paddle. My dad paddled. Because I always thought the kids, no one wanted to get paddled by my dad. And I just always thought, I live with this guy. I'd never understood it. I'm like, you don't want to get paddled. Like, in my head, I'm like, yeah, if these grown kids don't want, I have to live there. This was paddling was A-OK at that point. I mean, kids would sign it. It was a big wood paddle. I mean, it's so crazy.
Did your dad ever do that?
Different times.
At school?
No.
You would think we grew up in the 40s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which in Coopertown was like farther out. There was kids at Coopertown, they'd miss school for like tobacco season. Like they all lived on, a lot of them lived on farms and like, so they had to work and, I remember there was.
Robertson County,
yeah. And we drove that whole drive, the drive out there, those were like I feel like I learned everything, every grown up dad conversation that has to happen with your son was all, because we had a 45 minute drive.
Yeah.
And it all happened on that.
Uh-huh.
Was like everything got pulled back where you're like.
Birds and the bees?
Yeah, everything. And then just like, and I just remember just being, like, I don't want to take this drive ever again in my life. Coopertown's a great school. Great name too, Coopertown.
Mm-hmm. Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Bridget Haid, I never thought I would be saying this, but I'm pretty sure your podcast may have helped me get into medical school. I recently took the MCAT, medical college admission test. I'm the only one that needs to know that, probably. And one of the passages was about the philosopher Zeno and his paradoxes. I automatically remembered Aaron's description of this philosopher during the philosophy episode and was able to skim through this passage and answer the questions quickly. I know all the folks joke about how this podcast is about nothing, but I'm truly thankful for Aaron and Nate's discussion and how it helped me on my exam. Also, shout out to Breadbox for his research, too. Look at that.
Thank you, Bridget. Way to go.
That's something.
Yeah, what if she's just the worst doctor?
Yeah. It's just... Would I go to her? No. But that's great that, you know.
That would be the paradox.
Yeah.
Bridget, so, you know,
Bridget's paradox.
If you go to, if you go into the doctor and Bridget, if your doctor walks in and goes, "Let's go, folks." And you go, "I'm going to, do you mind if we have someone else come in the room with us?" And then go, just a little backup. that's the real deal. I don't even remember that conversation. I would not, if I had, I would never be in a position to have that test. That's where my smarts are.
You could take the test.
Hmm?
You could take the test.
But I wouldn't, because I'm not going to be, I don't even remember these conversations. I talk about them. But I would not, my smartness is I never put myself in a position.
Where
you need to. Mm.
Is there a paradox particular that she's referencing?
We did a couple of Zeno's.
Was that the table?
No.
Okay.
That's not a paradox?
Is that the half a distance, half a distance, half
yeah,
a distance?
Yeah, that's one of Zeno's paradoxes. Okay. Yeah, for sure. And then
there something about salt or
a couple
something?
Other that got destroyed right away. Okay. But yeah, we did a few. Yeah, drop it a grain of salt. Oh, a grain of rice on the ground and all that.
Okay, I remember.
Good stuff.
Okay. Chuck Rust. Nate should raise money for dyslexia by sponsoring a Nate Bargatze K5 race.
That's funny.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Should be 5K. No, I'm joking. What if I didn't get the joke? K5 race. I'm like, that makes sense.
It's funny.
The joke would have been funnier if it said 5K. Chuck, I think you're... Either comedy or the professionals. Abe Callard. This feels like another Callard boys.
The Callard family.
The Blanchards.
Callard family, the Blanchards and the Callards. I feel like they would have had problems.
And they're just, the Callards are a menace to this town.
The Callards and the Blanchards. Mm-hmm. And then high school, they all got sent to the same school.
Right.
And then it was like, so they had to have a truce.
Oh, they had to.
They had to.
Yeah. I just imagine chaos in the hallways. Well,
the beginning of it was chaos. Mm-hmm. The Blanchards and the Callards, and then, but then they had to have a truce, and then the truce was they both did chaos to everybody.
Uh-huh.
So it's all chaos, but they just did it together. Like the Blanchard would, you know, the Blanchard gets behind him on the ground, and the Callard pushes tabletops the guy
him.
Over, tabletops him. Yeah, that gummit Abe.
Like stepbrothers?
Yeah. I was recently driving through Italy.
Casual drive.
Casual drive and stopped for lunch in a small town called Bargese. I was wondering, is this the Bargatze ancestral hometown? And if so, have you ever gone back to connect with your roots? I don't know. I mean, I think we're in northern Italy. I think Switzerland, right, is on top of Italy.
I thought you were 0% Italian.
That's when I did the 23andMe. That's what they said. But again, my cousin Ronnie, he says that's ridiculous. And so I go with him. What do they know? You know?
I was thinking about Frank Costanza.
Yeah.
When he went to Sicily and they said, "That's my cousin." He's like, he's kind of known as a village idiot or something like that. Like you got a guy there just like you, but he's just kind of the town idiot.
Hey, this is Frank. I go, "Nate." And he goes, "Huh?"
He's dyslexic.
We are northern. I would love to look into our family. There's some of it. I think we were northern Italy and
could you look that up?
Border.
Bargese, Italy, and see where that's at?
Yeah.
That'd be crazy. What if I have a town? That'd be pretty fun. I don't think we ever had the name Barragaza.
You're just huge we over had, there.
Yeah. Like, they're like, he found us. Or what if they don't want me to find them? And that's why they changed it just enough.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Zoom out and see where it's at. Little small town, Barragaza.
Right about between Florence and
Bologna. Golly.
I bet you're that makes sense.
Is that where they made bolognese pasta? Is that where that is it from that town?
Oh, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? I didn't know bolognese was a town. Is it come from bolognese?
That would make sense. Yeah, typical this yeah, of the city of bolognese.
Well,
why do you spell bologna?
They don't do. Is there a fried bologna, Tennessee? You can go there.
What county is that in, Brian?
What county is that in? Mustard County. It's pretty good. Fried bologna is unbelievable. I had one the other day with Jeff Foxworthy.
When we were with him. From where? Like a nice one?
They had it. Yeah, I don't know. No, no.
They had them at like gas stations. Great. And yeah, good.
Dude, fried bologna is so good. Barragaza, we're looking to it. Blake McLaughlin. Hello, folks. Just curious, has Nate ever opened for Brentwood?
He's calling me Brentwood.
I was at the show when he got his CD taped at Zanies, but did not know Nate at the time. I remember someone dry opening for him, and I have convinced myself it was Nate. Just want to be able to say I saw him when he was an opener without lying. Did I do your CD?
You did.
Yeah, yeah.
You did.
It was me.
That's funny because I don't think I know Blake, but I feel like I knew everybody there. I thought everybody there was my family.
Yeah. But fellow folk before his time.
Pre-folk.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did. He saw me be opener.
Yep.
Not yet, folks.
For Brentwood.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Abram. I feel like I know Joel. I find it really endearing that Nate and Aaron continue to ask follow-up questions and Bob Sled continues to perfectly comfortably replying, I don't know. No desire to read anything past the first sentence of the Google search. Bobcat is like the first part of Snopes where someone makes a claim, but then you have to pay to figure out if it is true or just something your uncle made up.
That's fair.
Yeah. You know, I don't know.
There you go.
That'd be it's a great question. Mary Armbruster. I wonder if she married into that name.
So I was friends with a Sean Armbruster.
Armbruster.
Spelled the same way in college.
Oh, so you probably, they got to be related.
Might be a sister. Might be.
Might be.
I don't know. I think it's actually a more common name than
Armbruster
I'd like.
Is?
I think it is.
More common than you'd like. I think that was the meanest thing I've ever heard you say. The Armbruster family.
I don't mean their family's bigger than I would like it to be. I mean it's a more common name.
No, that's what I mean. Then you're making fun of their name, though. The Armbrusters. The Armbrusters could be... I mean, one of them went to Notre Dame.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
How are you making fun of their name?
He said that it's more common than he likes.
Oh.
So he's saying he doesn't like the name Armbruster. Oh, and he wish it wasn't around as much as it is.
I meant it's more common than you'd think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah.
Which is a much nicer way than saying like.
You're right. You're right. Should have sat on that for
Mary Armbruster. No. I'm seeing Nate's show in Columbus at the end of October, and this is my official plea for Aaron and Brian to join him. You might not want Aaron. The next day is the Ohio State versus Penn State football game, and I'd love to take you guys. Look at that, dude. Guess who she's not taking now?
Yeah. Ooh. But guess who's on that show?
You are.
Yeah.
You are on the show.
So are you, right, Brian?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing it.
And I'm going to the Penn State Ohio State football game.
With the Armbruster family?
Well, with Mary, at least. I respect that name.
Where is well, I'm down.
It's in Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Do we have something the next day? As long as I don't have something the next day is the only thing. If there's another show.
I think that's the end of the weekend.
Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah. Ohio State, Penn State. I'd love to go to that. See Ohio State game?
Oh yeah.
James Franklin. Mm-hmm. We call James Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know him?
I've done shows for them.
Yeah.
I would know, like, if we saw each other. I don't know him. I don't, like, text him or something.
I think it. We went to his last game, that bowl game in Birmingham, and didn't he like come up and hug you or shake your hand or something?
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've had him. I told Derek Mason I love him. I've gone. Now I got Clark Lee. I'll tell him I love him too. I already love him now. Yeah. I can't wait to tell him. Sammy Park and Kate Bosley. Oh, my friend and I are planning on being Nate for Halloween. Do you have any recommendations on how to dress? We have been thinking about it since your Reno show. Well, I like that.
Rubber bands? That'd
be. I mean, it depends on what you want to do.
You want to go old school, Nate?
Yeah. I mean, this is very flattering. I don't know if anybody's, y'all would be the only people in America doing this, which is a good thing to be original, you know? Sammy and Kate. I think you got to decide if you want to go old school. You might want to, if you both do it, you might want to do old school and then now.
Old Elvis and young Elvis.
Old, yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, obviously if you see on my Instagram.
I think that's the look you need to go for.
Yeah.
Youth pastor.
Yeah. A bit of a, yeah. And then, so I would think, yeah, and then you got to go, you know, the where we're at now, which is good because two different looks.
Some Vandy gear.
Which is perfect. Some Vandy gear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone is going to get to dress awesome and someone's not. So that's, that's what the problem's going to be.
Yeah.
Is like, you got to go through and look, because I mean, someone's got to really blow it up for this, you know, shave their head.
Yeah.
Who's it going to be, Sammy or Kate?
Sammy, Kate, how committed are you to this? Yeah.
Some good looks.
That's awesome. I mean, I would love to see it. If you,
yeah,
if we
take
can
a picture
see some pictures.
And,
We'd love to see it, see how it played out. All right. That's it. For the comments this week.
Talking about game shows.
Game shows. Mm.
What's your favorite game show?
Family Feud.
Oh, you guys are quick.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
I'm ready.
Been thinking about that for a while, right?
I think about it quite. Well, it's on the most. Often. I think Steve Harvey's the best host of any game show ever.
Yeah.
I think he's so good. He's so good that the show became personality driven when he took over.
Yeah.
The last two guys are fine. It was the John O'Hurley, Seinfeld, you know?
Yeah.
Which is good. But Steve Harvey's so funny that the show changed. It's just
well, who was the first one? One of them died.
Well, Richard Dawson was a longtime host back
he
in my day.
Died.
Yeah.
I know his son, I believe, is a comedian.
Really?
Yeah.
So he...
no, not him.
Well, he hosted it at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
Al Borland.
Louis Anderson hosted it.
Look
at
Richard Dawson. This comedian son or
Richard Dawkins. No, I'm kidding.
Was it
he? Yeah, he's guy. Yeah, someone. He's just our he would kiss everybody.
Yeah, yeah. He
type in comedian son. Like someone's a gang. I'm blanking.
They said he kissed somewhere in the vicinity of 20,000 women.
That's not
20,000 women he kissed?
20,000 women during his run hosting Family Feud.
20,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
He explained that he reached out to grab, how it started. There was a nervous contestant. He reached out to grab her shaking hand and kissed her on the cheek for good luck. She immediately relaxed and was able to provide the correct answer. So he started doing it to all the women to help them relax.
Oh my God.
They recently tried to counsel him, but then they found out he died in 2012. So.
Oh, they still came after him after?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't want those episodes airing like on the Game Show Network or anything.
Yeah.
But they
I feel like back then that's just what happened.
They did even the executive producer, they said, did a poll, probably like our polls or whatever, and more audience members said they like it. I mean, yeah, people who watch the show.
Yeah. I mean, back then,
yeah.
I think it was.
It is pretty crazy. He's just kissing all these women on the lips right next to their husband.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I mean, for the times now, it's insane, but you got to, I mean, at this point, these games, like Family Feud is a famous show, but back then, you have to like realize, like, I feel like the show was like, there's not much on TV.
Yeah.
This show is huge.
Right.
It's very, like, you know.
I watched this with my grandparents.
Yeah.
You remember him kissing everybody?
Oh, I did. My grandfather thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
My grandmother was repulsed by it.
It's insane. It's just,
yeah.
I'll just kiss every woman on the show.
20,000.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Did you have a favorite game show?
I always liked No Whammy.
Oh,
what is okay. that?
What is that?
Pressure luck?
Press your luck.
Press your luck.
No whammy. Stop. Okay.
Oh, I didn't know what that was a reference to. I've heard that.
So that had one of the most, that guy right there, he's one of the most controversial. He figured out the pattern. When VCR started, he started recording all the episodes.
Yeah.
And do you know what press your luck is?
No. How does this game work?
I forgot how you get to the number of presses. Maybe you have to answer some questions. But then once it starts, it's just a board.
No whammy, a board blinks.
If you land on a whammy, you lose all your money.
This guy looks like he cheated for sure.
He learned the pattern. He figured it out, and he like got the code, and they couldn't stop him. And he just kept going. They had to like keep going to another episode. They've never had to do that. And I mean, he could have gone on forever because he just knew what to do.
He just figured out the game.
He went over $100,000, and this is the 1980s. He went over $100,000. If you look him up on YouTube. I mean, he just keeps going.
I don't know. Would they be able to show it on YouTube?
Oh, yeah. I don't know about that. I watched it. It's so funny because he just doesn't
stop. Keeps going, yeah.
And the executive producer's like, something is up because this guy, he doesn't even wait to see. Like, he's yelling yes as soon as he hits the button because he just knew.
Yeah.
He just had it figured out.
So he broke it. Like, they had to change the whole thing. They had to do it where it synced differently.
Yeah.
It's $330,000 in today's money, by the way.
Did they give him the money?
Yeah, they gave him to him because he didn't cheat. He just figured it out.
He was too smart for it.
I wonder if did you get mad? Like, you got to be like, oh, I would think, A, that's got to be good for your game show. It's because that's all anybody's going to talk about.
Yeah.
Unless you think people think it's rigged and then they're like, whatever. And then you just say what you did. All right, then we got to fix it where it's not.
It's like, and the only time people talk about Jeopardy a lot is when there's somebody on a run or a streak, somebody dominating.
So they just had to keep going.
Yeah.
Did he finally lose or they just stopped?
No, he finally stopped. He, I guess you can pass your presses to someone else and make them go. And then, you know, cause they could land on a whammy, but he finally just stopped. He won 110,000 and you can't come back. You could win up to 25,000 and then you're done. And he won 110,000 on one try. So
yeah. And so he why didn't he just keep going to like get a 2 million? Like?
I don't know. I think he could have. I think he maybe just finally felt like he had pressed his luck and just finally stopped.
Yeah. Like he's like, they're going to figure it out.
And I guess he could have pressed wrong and messed up and eventually landed on a whammy. Mm-hmm. It's so cheesy. I watched that whole episode. I mean, game shows are cheesy now, but in the 80s, the guy next to him is a pastor from North Carolina or something. He's like looks like Ned Flanders. Yeah. And, I mean, they are so cheesy. But he lost all his money. He like invested in some bad stuff. And I think he died penniless. But
Are you serious?
Yeah. He really pressed his luck.
Yeah.
He, that's crazy. That like to be that smart to figure it out. And then you just like, you know, and then you're like, you go and end up, and it looks like he borrowed that suit.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Tie.
Somebody commented that you say on your album, Family Feud's your favorite show, but on the podcast, you say West Wing is, and they say you're lying about one of them.
Yeah, I lie all the time.
Mm. Well, which one is it?
West Wing's a better show, but Family Feud is...
I would think they're two different things.
Yeah, they're kind of. They're in two different worlds in my head.
Yeah.
You know, one is a serious show, the other's just fun garbage television.
When you ask audience members if they've ever been on Family Feud, has anybody ever said yes?
Met a couple.
Yeah. A whole family?
Met a couple different families, that went on. And a bunch of people were like, we auditioned and didn't get it. Because I've been asking people that. I just want to know how you. It's what I always ask is how did you decide who to bring?
Yeah.
Because you only get to bring a few people.
Is it five?
I think so. Four. I think it's five total, right?
You have
five total. So you get it and you pick the four that you audition with.
Like, who would you bring?
It can be anyone in your family.
In your family, yeah.
So Daniel Rucker's out.
Yeah, Felix is out.
Felix is out.
Ryan's out.
Ryan's out.
But it's usually your spouse and your closest.
Sometimes it's a weird mix. It's like
cousins.
You have just a a rocket scientist in your family.
Yeah,
you get him in there. I'd dive deep to be like in my family. My family would be probably very funny on it.
Yeah.
So like you almost just for the TV aspect of it is like having my dad and just having my immediate family, my dad, my brother, my sister, my mom, and me, I think would just be a lot of dead gummit.
Calling each other idiots. Yeah. You're not doing good answer, good
you
answer.
Idiot.
You idiot.
Dead gummit. How did you not know?
You got to be argued amongst yourself.
My family would be mad that I'm the one that got the offer to be on it. And so I get to choose. They go, all right, well, who are we going to choose? I go, no, I have to be there.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh. you maybe think, all right, who could in my family? Like, you just had to pick someone that's like super smart.
Well, I've heard people argue me for Family Feud, you don't necessarily want somebody who's the smartest in your family.
Yeah.
Because the object of the game is to guess what ordinary people would pick, which by definition, you would be the perfect
contestant. So me and my sister play a game. Me and my sister think a lot. What was I can't remember. You name something and then you say cereal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, we're 3, 2, 1. And if you say the same word.
This is a game you guys invented.
Yeah. No, I think it's a game that it's, game.
Okay.
And then you'd be like, if you both go Frosted Flakes.
Uh-huh.
Like, or it's like fruit. So on 1, 2, 3, let's say what we think of fruit. 1, 2, 3.
Pineapple.
Y'all both said pineapple? That's weird. I said banana. Is banana's a fruit?
Yeah, right? It's a fruit.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll say pineapple. What is a weird? What kind of?
It's not that weird, man.
Huh?
It's like common fruit.
That's. I think an apple would be.
Yeah. Then why didn't you say apple?
Well, banana is right next to apple. Apple and banana are going to be the top. In Family Feud, banana, apple, orange are probably the top three. I don't know if pineapple's ordinary people.
I bet it got 2 or 3 at the end there.
It's like.
I'm going to be honest. I'd kind of zoned out, so I heard him say pineapple, so I just said
pineapple too? No.
I'll do another one.
Greatest San Diego Padre. Tony Gwynn.
Yeah. I was trying to think of another, like
brand of car or something.
You can say brand of car. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Toyota. Five.
I said Honda. Yeah. So those are all probably high up.
Uh-huh.
Toyota, Ford, Honda.
Yeah.
Like those would be three, things. Man, what if people listen to this? It's just another hour of being like a nut.
Colors. Okay.
One, two, three.
Orange. Pineapple.
Pineapple. Okay. We can't get it. Guys, we can't move on until we all agree on the one that, and people are just like,
ah.
Like, this is unbelievable.
Talk about golf.
Yeah. But me and my sister would always say the same thing. Like, a very random, sometimes we would say the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we both would say the wrong answer.
That's cool. Yeah.
And, our brains are...
Minds working together, man.
Yeah.
We talked about it on this once before, but you and I met a guy who won the whole Showcase Showdown on Price is Right.
Yeah.
His name was Kramer. He was the manager at Stardome when we were there, and he went on and won it and showed us his car. We were riding around in it that he won on the Price is Right.
Wow.
Yep. Would you rather spin the wheel on Price is Right or on Wheel of Fortune?
Well, if you spin the wheel on...
I'd rather spin the Price is Right.
Price is Right.
I think
I
would too.
Yeah, they're different, right?
Yeah, but like if you were just doing a tour of the set and you're like, hey, can I spin that? Which one would you rather spin?
Oh, I think
just
I
to
could.
Get the feel of
oh,
it.
Oh, I would love to spin the Price is Right wheel.
I think I've been somewhere where the Price is Right, a studio or something I was in, and it was like Price is Right is right over. Where was I at? Yeah, because they're like Price is Right is right over there. And I was like, can we go in there? And I don't think we could go in. They wouldn't let us. But I was like, man, I might get to spin this wheel.
You didn't even get close to it.
I didn't get close to it. Yeah. But I could have, and I forgot.
So they have 325, Price is Right, 325 audience members. So that's about the size of Zanies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They pick 9 contestants per episode.
That's smaller than I thought.
Yeah, looks bigger on TV.
Yeah.
Sorry. 9 contestants, and there's a producer. His name's Stan Blitz, who interviews everyone in line to see who gets to be on the show.
Mm.
He says he's looking for energy, sincerity, and potential humor.
Mm.
It's like you got to keep the energy going.
The energy's got to be, you got to be just hopping.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd ever get it.
That's yeah. that's the best when it, somebody gets called up on it and they're yeah. they're just so excited to be there. It's, yeah. It's the best feeling.
There's websites that train you on how to do it, like do's and don'ts, stuff like that. You can't be too excited. You can't, you know, they try to teach you how to do it.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Aaron Paul was a contestant on Price is Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's very funny. He made it to the Showcase Showdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever see that the guy? He's like, he's a sailor, so it's he's on the Showcase Showdown, and the package is like a living room set.
Yeah.
And like, I think of maybe a 4-wheeler and then like a trip to Destin, Florida. And he's like, $250,000. And everyone's like, did you say $250,000? $250,000. And Bob Barker goes, I'm going to let you try that again. And he goes, okay. $90,000. He just had no idea. So it goes to the other woman and she just goes, $1.
Yeah. And then she wins.
Yeah, she yeah. won. Yeah.
That was in the Showcase Showdown?
Yeah, he just had no clue. Dude. He had no clue anything cost.
$250,000.
Barker's like, whoa. Yeah.
You've got a joke like that now, similar. About taxes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very funny to think, like, you could see... Like someone that's like, you know, someone that probably doesn't have any money and they're like, I don't know how much any, like going to Destin, Florida is probably going to be like, I don't even know what that is. Cause he's a sailor. So if he's the only reason he's on there is because they, like he just got lucky to be like, we're going to have sailors on. Mm. And so then they go, all right, we'll go be on.
Mm-hmm.
Like he just happens to be there. It's not like he's taking a trip. So this dude's probably never been anywhere. So you're, I mean, he's probably like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, a living room set? I don't know if I could tell you how much that costs now.
Yeah.
$5,000?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on what it is, yeah. but yeah. We talked about on here the perfect bid. There's a documentary, but you know, the one guy yelled out the exact right price for Showcase Showdown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And
because he watched it all
and he yeah. learned everyone. Learned, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Are you going to show it?
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
Jose on this showcase. Everything. Give me a bid, Joe. Jose, what do you bid?
I'll bid
$250,000.
$250,000?
So it's 50,000. 250,000? Think about that for a moment now. Woo!
60,000.
$60,000? That you bid? $60,000 a day. Okay? This is your showcase. Yeah, your showcase, man.
She just bids $1.
$1.
Well, I mean, he's like, I'm gonna be closer to $1. How much?
Excitement is running hot. Gay, you bid $1 on your showcase. Actual retail price of her showcase
is not even room for 6 digits.
A difference of $28,897. Now over to Jose. Jose, you bid $60,000 on your showcase. Actual retail price of Jose's showcase 20,685. You win! You win!
Because over just... Yeah. Over doesn't matter.
Yeah. That's great.
He just didn't know.
But he had no idea what he was like. What am I bidding on?
I wouldn't know the living room set. Like, how would it's so? I guess, but you would just have to be prepared. But this dude could be like, they're like, where are we going today? And he's going, Price is Right. You're like, I don't even know what this show is.
And then an hour later, he's like
the most important. Yeah.
And she passed to him, right?
Yeah.
She did pass.
So he probably wasn't even paying attention.
Yeah.
Didn't know
all this stuff.
Yeah,
$250,000. That's so funny.
A lot of people, you have to pay full taxes on all this stuff. So a lot of people don't even claim their prizes because they can't afford to because they can't pay the taxes.
Can they sell them or they don't even get them?
I think you can sell them, but if you claim them, you still have to pay the taxes.
You pay the taxes on the items that you receive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a car, you could be playing a few grand, right, or something.
One guy said he won $57,000 in prizes, and he had to pay close to $20,000 in taxes.
Yeah.
So it's not worth it to some people.
Yeah.
Well, that one's probably worth it. You still make 30. What does he make? $37,000 in prizes?
If you can sell them.
Oh, yeah. You got to sell them because you're like, you got a couch.
Yeah.
And you're like, I got to pay these taxes. I mean, yeah, I'd imagine it's a hassle.
Yeah.
Like, it's not straight up cash where you're like, all right, cash is kind of easy because you're like, you get to walk away with cash.
Yeah.
This is like, you know.
There was a woman in a wheelchair with no feet went on the Price is Right, and her prize was a treadmill. And everyone freaked out, but she was a stand-up comedian, and she loved it and thought it was great. Her name's Danielle Perez, and it's a very funny thing.
Danielle Perez? This is recent?
I don't know.
Yeah, Danielle Perez. She did JFL with me this year.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, went up right after her at JFL. That's very funny. I'd never seen this.
Yeah. That's what... I mean, she was great about it. Everyone after her wanted her to try to cancel the show, and she just thought it was very funny. She's like, come on, I want a treadmill.
Yeah. Well, can you play it? The meat volume? Yeah, okay. He's on Family Nice.
It's all you, Manuela. $3,695. Let's give it to her. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Congratulations.
I mean, I saw an interview with her afterwards where she says she thinks it's great.
Drew Carey's just not even acknowledging it.
Like, yeah.
Oh, boy.
What did they say when she... It's like they just try to... Yeah, that's crazy.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I had no idea. Yeah, she's a really funny comic.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, there was the game Plinko. There was a contestant that went on, and I guess 10,000's in the middle, and there's zeros on each side. The guy did three straight 10,000's, and they're like, "Do you know the story?"
No.
They're like, "Something's up because nobody's ever done this." And then a producer ran out before he dropped the fourth one, and they just shot a commercial for it where they wanted the person to make sure they hit 10,000, and they put some fishing line that was so thin you couldn't see it on either side. So it would automatically go in, and they forgot to remove it.
Oh.
So nobody saw it. So this person was hitting 10,000 every time.
And they had no idea why. They just thought they were lucky.
Yeah. So they had to stop it and make them do it over.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think they gave them the 30,000 off camera, but then they still had them do the thing.
Yeah.
Drew Carey, he told that on Jeff and Larry's podcast recently.
Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, yeah, you got to give it to him. Like, you got a show like that, you're like, it's your fault.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, Barker's Beauties, they don't do that anymore. Well, I guess they still have models that are out there, right?
Yeah.
I've never heard them called that.
Well, back when Bob Barker was there, he called them Barker's Beauties.
He would call them Barker's Beauties?
I think that was just everybody called them that. And it was a different time back then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Richard Dawson's making out with other people's wives.
It's actually pretty tame considering what's going on. Yeah.
Janice Pennington, who's the longtime model on Price is Right, she did over 5,000 episodes. She had a couple of incidents. The cliffhanger game, you know the cliffhanger where the guy goes up?
It's yodeling as it
goes. Yeah, he's yodeling. Yeah. During a 1976 episode, it was a different host. He referred to the mountain climber in the cliffhanger game as Fritz, unaware that her husband, Fritz, had disappeared while mountain climbing in the mid-70s. as the contestant lost the game and the mountain climber tumbled over the cliff, he announced, "There goes Fritzy," causing her to run off the stage crying for the remainder of the episode.
God, dude. What are the odds of that? She was like the most, like...
And then...
What is he? Did he have to know? Like,
I don't know. He didn't know. He said later that he felt terrible about it, was extremely apologetic. I don't know if he... I don't know how... Surely he would have known.
Yeah. Well, what? I mean...
It's funny either way.
Here goes Fritz.
I mean, just the odds of all of this lining up to be like... I mean, to even... have someone in your life that died of a mountain climbing accident.
Yeah. And then you have to play the mountain climbing
and then you,
game.
Then you have a game of mountain climbing where if he loses, he falls off a mountain. And then the guy just goes, Fritz seems like a good name for that. And then, I mean, that's actually a perfect name for it.
Yeah.
It's actually the best name you could choose. There goes Fritzy. Like, just, I mean, just crazy. You're like, God, that girl's taking that loss pretty hard. Yeah. All right. We'll be back.
And then in June of 88, she got knocked unconscious by a camera and resulting surgery left her with scars and one shoulder shorter than the other. As a result, she could no longer wear swimsuits on the show.
How do you get a shoulder?
I don't know.
Damn, good. What kind of doctors do they have back then? The doctor just comes in and goes, you're gonna have some scars and we're gonna have to, when your shoulder is lowered. And you go, can that happen? And you go, it did. I mean, it's happened, you know?
Can that happen,
yeah,
doctor?
Yeah. That doesn't make sense.
Something's not right.
He goes, why are you keep questioning me? You go, I'm not questioning you. He goes, just shoulders. Yeah, that doesn't. You just see her, just the one. He goes, "What are you talking about?" And then, not to make fun of it, I'm sure if we have people at home, they're like, "There's a guy listening to this at home."
That's, like, it's not very funny.
It's like Ben. He goes, "It's actually quite common."
I like to think Bob Barker goes back there. Tell me, Doc, is she ever going to be able to wear a swimsuit again? They're like, probably not.
I mean,
I have to find a new.
Not the kind you want her to. She's going to be, you know, I think she'll be like when you do shower curtains and stuff and you give a, you know, any living room suit that you want to give away.
Robe or something.
Yeah. When you give motorcycles away and they have to wear helmets and stuff like that, I'd do that. I mean, this poor girl. She's still alive?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Bless her heart.
Yeah. The producer of Price is Right got fired not long after Drew Carey came on board, but he was trying to help Drew Carey. He was allowing more people to win to try to make the show have a positive upbeat, to make people like Drew Carey more, just try to keep it going. But after a few months, he was $700,000 over budget because everybody was winning these games, so they let him go.
Mm. He's been there for a long time?
Yeah, I said for decades.
Yeah. Well, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, he's trying to help the show.
Yeah. It's like, then you're going to imagine the people right after him. I wonder if they went on a losing streak. Like, just if you happen to get on.
To try to make up for it.
Right after that, and you're like, dude, I got hammered. Because you win money, I lost money.
Yeah.
And you're like, how do you lose money? And they go, it was this new game they invented where you had to put up your own money for.
It's called Sound Exchange.
Yeah, it's called Sound Exchange. Yeah.
Back in the original Price is Right days, they would just try to be funny, say, you win an elephant, but then they would just give you money or whatever. But then one guy said, no, I want an elephant. And he like threatened to sue them because he said the fertilizer would really help his farm in Texas. They finally had to buy him an elephant and ship it to him.
Wow. Stuck to his guns.
Yep.
How do you ship an elephant?
I don't know. It came from Kenya. They offered him $4,000, but he's like, nope, I want the elephant.
Then they could have got one from here. They didn't have to call a couple zoos and just go, you got one just beating around out there. Some old elephant. Yeah. And just throw this dude. We set it on TV. Mm-hmm. I mean, what if you just go, we're going to say no.
Yeah, I don't know.
What if they just go, we're not going to give you the elephant.
Then they violated the contract, I guess.
But then you just go, okay. And then you let him, you see if he wants to sue enough for that elephant. I mean, imagine the guy goes, no, I wanted it. And then so much so that he has an elephant.
Yeah.
So Ken Jennings is the highest earning game show contestant of all time. He made over $5 million on Jeopardy.
Wow.
You know, James, how you say his name? Holzhauer, the guy who just recently changed things.
Yeah.
He was the gambler who changed the way they do it.
The way they changed Jeopardy?
I mean, the way contestants approach it.
He played it in a way nobody played it.
What was that way?
He would like just...
He went for money.
Make high risk. Like he would, you know, most people start at the top and work their way down. He would go to the bottom. He was searching for the daily doubles. He was wagering the max every time.
Yeah.
And he would get such big leads that people just couldn't catch him. He won by far the most money in one day.
Yeah. He would have like 50 grand and be like, all right, make it a true daily double. Like wager it all on a daily double.
Yeah.
And just dominate people.
But he has to know the answer to these things.
Yeah. That's the thing. It only works if you know the answers.
Yeah.
Course.
The previous record for most earnings in one day was 77,000. He broke that 16 times, and his highest was 131,000 in one day.
Wow. How much did he win?
He was just short of Ken Jennings, I think.
Yeah.
We finally got beat.
In a way shorter amount of time, though.
Yeah, right? Way shorter.
Yeah.
He was $58,000 short of Ken Jennings, but he did it much fewer games. I think he got beat by a woman who did the same strategy that he did.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, you got to just believe in yourself and go, I'm going to know all the answers to these.
Yeah,
so I'm going to search for, you know, that's funny that no one ever tried it. I mean, Ken Jennings, I guess, just, but you're like, yeah, I'll just go. Because if I get it and I'm guessing that I'm going to win it, then it's like, you just get so,
Yeah, he's a professional gambler. I think he just did this on the side.
I watched a whole video about his buzzer technique, too. You know, if you watch Jeopardy, it's the people that don't know what they're doing. They're the ones very aggressively hitting that buzzer every time. And if you watch him, he's got his arms folded across his chest, and you never see his fingers. He's just casually pressing the button. Mm. And he read some book about how to beat the buzzer, when exactly to push it, and that's he attributes that to his success, too.
He would hold his wrist to keep it steady, I think.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
Look, he looks crazy.
Because they're all just, are they all just hitting
it? You see, the other two people are like trying, they can't get it. He's just beating them just down here.
And they're all just, can you just keep pressing the button and hope you time it out right?
I don't know. I don't know how it works exactly. I think you have to wait till it's done being read, the answer, like exactly. So you just have to time it based on Alex Trebek's cadence and everything.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I always wondered if the second and third place got to keep their winnings. They don't.
Oh, really?
Second place gets $2,000 and third place gets $1,000. And everyone gets a Jeopardy CD-ROM game.
No, really?
But if they had like $10,000.
That might be old info right there. They get the
CD-ROM game.
You get a copy on Betamax.
According to this... so you're right, it could be old.
Well, they just did. Didn't they do like the best, like who was the best Jeopardy player of all time?
The Tournament of Champions?
Yeah.
And that was Ken Jennings and James Holhauser, and I'm probably saying his name wrong, and Brad Rutter.
Yeah. And who won?
Didn't Ken Jennings win?
Ken Jennings won.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the original kind of dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he beat James, like, it didn't work on James.
I guess not. I guess Ken was just faster buzzing in, maybe.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it.
Well, then Ken studies how he's doing it, and then you got three dudes, like, so who's the quickest?
Mm-hmm. And they all just know all the answers to everything, so.
So I guess they're still searching for a host. Mike Richards was going to do it, and then some bad stuff came up.
Yeah. What was so crazy about that story, it's pretty funny, or the idea that, like, this dude was, like, auditioning all these people for Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, you know what? I'll just do it. And you're like, well, that's not how it's supposed to be at all. Like, why did you audition? And then, so it's like, okay. And then he does it. And within hours, they're like, well, you've said stuff on, they found some old interview. Mm-hmm. And then they go, you said stuff, which I don't think should happen, but it's like, they go back through it. But it's like, I don't like when that stuff happens, but then there's times where you're like, a guy like that, you're like, but you probably had all this coming, man. Like, you can't, you're not the guy. Like, it's like you, that kind of thing drives me crazy because it's a guy that's produces this and sees Alex Trebek and goes, I think I can do it. And I'm in charge of hiring whoever, so I'm going to give myself the job.
Hire myself.
Yeah. And you're like, I know you think it's an easy thing, but there's something too while we watched Alex Trebek. And the way you're even doing this is now you're like, I would have never, no one would have watched that show. Mm-hmm. Cause you're like, this guy just hired himself.
Yeah.
Like he took, like it's a coach in train, like the, what is the,
interim? Oh, like a player coach?
No, interim coach.
Oh, interim?
Yeah. Interim.
Yeah. He's still the executive producer of Jeopardy. I think some people, now that this stuff's come out, want him gone, gone.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's executive producer of Price is Right as well.
Oh, so he's killing it. He doesn't need that job.
I know. Why would you take it? It's because I believe that those guys get jealous of the fame that they get. Mm-hmm. And then they think, well, I've been here every day. No one knows who I am. I'm making this game go more than Alex's. Everything Alex has, you know, like there's a bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he hires himself. And then you're like, yeah, dude, well, that looks awful.
Yeah.
That looks awful. And then they got the girl from Blossom, mm-hmm. which is like a good one to get. She's like a rock. She went to Harvard or something. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's like, she's perfect.
Girl from Big Bang Theory?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she wants the job, I think. And like, you're like, it's kind of a perfect kind of thing. Everybody knows her. Everybody's going to probably be like, all right, I'm going to continue to watch the show. It's like someone that gets in their own way. You always think of that. When someone gets in their own way, and it's kind of crazy because you think it would be easy not to get in your own way. And then, like, that guy couldn't help it, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep.
And it's, and he just got, you know, you start auditioning all these people, then you just go, I'm just hiring myself. You got in your own way. And so instead, you might end up losing all your jobs versus you could be just, have another maybe 40-year run
yeah.
of just a consistent that we're not taking that show away.
Yeah.
Jeopardy's like the one thing that's like it probably can't go away. Mm-hmm. People, there's just not another game. You know, game shows are hard to like, I think networks and stuff want to try them,
mm-hmm.
but I think they're hard to make click. It's hard to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even Deal or No Deal was a great. I love Deal or No Deal. I thought it was awesome. I remember watching it. Is it still on?
With Wayne Brady?
Howie Mandel. Oh, maybe it's,
yeah, Howie Mandel.
Oh, what's the show with Wayne Brady?
Wayne Brady does Let's Make a Deal.
Oh, okay.
That's an old game.
Yeah, that they rebooted.
And that was a very 70s game. People dressed up in costumes, right? Yeah,
you got a Zonko.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very fun.
Yeah.
But like those games, like, because it's an old game. Like, I feel like when game shows, like the newer ones, they're just, I mean, I guess they have a bunch of newer ones on. They try them, but they just don't feel like they do. I feel Dwayne Wade's got one now. Mm-hmm. And his is like.
Doesn't Peyton have one?
Yeah, it's funny. Peyton is, I think Cooper Manning and Peyton, but it's on something crazy. Like, I want to say Dwayne Wade's is on like TBS or something. Dwayne Wade just doesn't have the personality for it. Like, I've watched it and he's. Just not, it just like Peyton's got a great personality.
Yeah.
You know, and it's Dwayne Wade, I don't feel like has that. He's not like, he doesn't have that, that kind of personality like that. Like LeBron could have you could see him doing it, or, you know, Steph Curry, I feel like has a, you know, I know he did that golf. Yeah. He didn't host it though.
Oh, he didn't?
No, I think it was just his show. I think he did some of it. But I didn't really watch a ton of it. I just watched Dwayne Wade. And it's almost like they just set him up wrong, mm-hmm. where it's kind of quiet, maybe because that's COVID stuff, but it's kind of quiet. He like asks him a couple questions and they get in there. And I think it's hard. I mean, it's hard to mm-hmm. talk and mm-hmm. like be able to do that, you know?
Ellen has one, I think.
But I mean, that's what Ellen, I mean, she's built for that.
Yeah.
Right. Like perfectly built for it. Chris Hardwick.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think you get a game show, it's a good gig.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just go every day. It's fun. You get to see someone win or lose. Mm-hmm. You got to be funny. And I mean, it's not going to, you know, and if it hits, it's your goal. I mean, that's like getting Tonight Show, like Fallon getting Tonight Show. You're like, you did it, dude.
Yeah. So like you got to be like the Pope gig.
Yeah.
Like you have it till you die.
Yep. You know? And you got to be like, all right, I'll do this forever.
Yeah.
Like it'd be, I think I always, you think, would you want that gig? And, but I think I would. Like,
you'd be good for, you're smarter than a fifth grader. And I'm not saying that because you're dumb. I'm saying that you'd be very fun with the kids and stuff like that.
I think so. I think I would do good with,
Which Foxworthy hosted.
Foxworthy did. Yeah. Foxworthy loved, he loved it.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, it was great. Like, we just did it. You just pump them out. And, you know, I was on Ridiculousness. I mean, that's not a game show, but it's like that show, dude, they're pumping, they're doing a ton of those. Like, they're like six a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you go in there and sit and you're in there for 20, 25 minutes, whatever, how long the show is, you're in there as long as.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you just sit there and they just plow through it. They let you make your jokes and you show your clips and you talk about it and make a joke and they come back to you. And like, I mean, but it's down to a science, which is great. Cause it's like, that's an easy show to watch and you're, you know, those are the shows those are probably the shows to try to create. Cause it's like, they just can't really go away until you want them to go, until it's like, and then the formula's there with Ridiculousness. I mean, Rob Dyrdek is like awesome. And their whole crew, you're like, everybody likes them. And Rob Dyrdek, I mean, I'm such a big Rob Dyrdek fan, from Robin Big, like in all those shows and, they could, you know, that could probably just keep going. You just find a likable guy and he sits there and makes some jokes and like, you know, kids are watching it. Like, you don't, there's not as much pressure. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, you're like, oh, it's just on at like gas stations. It can be on anywhere. Like it just can be on anywhere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a couple of examples of kind of ticky tacky, corrections that would just prove that we would have no chance on shows like Jeopardy. One guy answered, the correct answer was Wimbledon. See, I can't even do it. He said Wimbledon, and they gave it to him at first, and then after the commercial break, they came back and said, no, you said Wimbledon with a T. So they took it away from him. And then on...
What was that, Jeopardy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be...
And then on Kids...
Wimbledon. I might have said Wimbledon.
Wimbledon.
I think I would have said Dunn. Just because I see it, you see it on TV with the D.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
See it spelled out. I've seen this one, the kid one that you're about to...
Yeah, Kids Jeopardy, the kid got it right. The answer was Emancipation Proclamation, but he misspelled emancipation. So they said it was clear.
It was the final Jeopardy we have to write it.
Yeah, you have to write it.
Yeah.
And he just misspelled emancipation, had a letter or two off. And it was clear he got it right, but they didn't give it to him.
I feel like you just have to do that, though, in that game. Like, you have to be like, we can't be – it's like you can't cut corners. You can't be like –
That's what
right,
they
dude.
Said.
They're like, it is what it is, dude. Like, I'm sorry. But you know going in, you better be able to spell it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
I think a kid had a tough time with it, and it was being paraded around on the news shows. And then Jeopardy was like, well, we can't just pretend that's not a rule. Like, you have to spell it.
Yeah.
Right? That's a big part of it.
But, I mean, do they do abbreviations? Like, don't people fill out answers where they do abbreviations or something? Or
you put the EP instead of Emancipation Proclamation. Yeah.
Emancipation. I mean, how hard would that? I don't know if I could spell it. Emancipation. Eman. E-M-M-A-N.
E-M-M.
Emance. A-M.
E-M-A-N.
E-M-A-N. Emance. C-I-P-A-T-I-O-N?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I would have said Emma.
Could you get Proclamation?
Proclamation? P-R-C-L-O-M-A-T-I-O-N?
A.
A.
Not the that's where P-R-O-C-L-O. They get, that's where they get you.
Oh, they do.
Proclamation.
Emancipation.
Yeah.
Proclamation.
See Lincoln there. So there was a game show called I've Got a Secret. This was the 1950s where celebrities try to guess what this person's secret is. The 95-year-old man went on there and his secret was he witnessed Lincoln be assassinated at Ford Theater.
Whoa.
And was it true?
Yeah, it was true. He was 95 and this was in 1956 when the show happened. He was 5 when it happened.
He was at that.
He says he remembers it happening.
Well, on the show he did. Yeah, I watched. There's video of this. There's video of everything on YouTube. But yeah, he's really old, and they guess it pretty quick.
They do?
Yeah, I mean, I was like.
Oh, because they tell you what the secret is, and then they show the people?
Well, they show you know on the screen what it is, and then you watch these celebrities try to guess.
Yeah.
They said he took a fall before the show.
If I saw that guy, I'd be like, what were you at, Lincoln's assassination or something? He's the oldest person I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, he comes walking out, and poor guy, and they said, Mr. So-and-so took a fall before the show, but he wanted to keep on coming out here. So who knows? Oh,
and so they guess him because it's obvious. There's only one person that could be old enough to.
They started off by saying, is this someone we know, like a famous person? And then he says yes. And then the next celebrity says something like, is this historical? And then yes. And then was something good or bad that happened? Bad.
And he was like, good. Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah.
They ask clues and then till someone guesses.
Yeah.
What it was.
That's crazy.
What year was that?
1956.
Man, that's my dad was born. My dad and mom. My dad was born in 55. I think my mom was born in 56. And
isn't that crazy? Lincoln's assassination was just two dudes away from you.
Yeah.
It feels like it's so long ago. It's two guys away from you.
Yeah. I mean, this guy was alive. My parents were alive.
Yeah.
Like, you could get a word of mouth about Lincoln to go, no, I saw Lincoln with my own eyes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw his last breath. You know?
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude. Yeah.
Louis C.K. had a joke about that, about people say slavery or racism was something.
So long ago.
It's like two 80-year-old white women.
Living and dying back to back.
Yeah. Wheel of Fortune, this isn't some other ticky-tack thing. Well, not ticky-tack, they just got it wrong. In this case, so the answer is a streetcar named Desire, and the only thing left was the M in named, and she guessed K. She thought it was a streetcar naked Desire.
Oh. Yeah.
Another woman, the answer was Seven Swans of Swimming, and she said Seven Swans of Swimming. She didn't emphasize the G.
A swimmer.
Oh, really?
Like Southern.
Yeah.
She's have an accent? Or
she has a Southern accent, yeah. Seven Swans of Swimming.
That's unfair.
Clay Travis tweeted about it, like, why are y'all picking on Southerners? And this woman guessed, I've got a good feeling about this on Wheel of Fortune, and the only thing she had is, oh, is that it?
Yeah, we got it right here.
I might want
to mute it.
Well, I don't know about that. I was going to say, how far?
No, this is it. She's okay. About to get it. She guesses an L. So we have so many letters, just an apostrophe and an L.
What's that?
Can I solve?
Okay.
It is a prize puzzle.
Yeah.
I've got a good feeling about this.
That's right.
Wow.
Wow.
So she's the quickest?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I mean...
It's crazy to guess that when the hint is just phrase. Yeah. You know, it's not, you know.
Yeah. She said she knew with the apostrophe right there, the first word's probably I've. And then she just started racking her brain, like, what it might be.
And then she's like, I need to,
And then she had a good feeling about it. Yeah. She was like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a good feeling. I know this. Wait a second.
Pat Sajak said back in the earlier days of the show, he and Vanna White would get drunk before the show. They would go to a Mexican restaurant across the street and drink margaritas and get drunk before they taped the show.
See, that's what I mean. Cause you could, that's why these gigs are so good. Cause it's, it's like, it's just so consistent. Like, I feel like in show business inconsistent is like the name of the game. Like, you don't know where anything's going to come from. You don't know what's going to happen. And it's the closest you can get to a 9-to-5 job is like one of these. And they don't go away because you're the face of the show.
Yeah.
And people get used to seeing you and they're like, I want you. You know, Bob Barker, Bob Barker's the guy. Don't change it up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show my kids Bob Barker. It's never going to go away because you're like, as long as he's up there, I like this. It's, you know, kind of mindless TV and you get a, you know,
think how many phrases that are just in our zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
That have your pet.
Maybe not.
Have your pets spayed or neutered.
Yeah.
We know that from Bob Barker.
Yeah.
Drew Carey still says it.
Yeah.
Come on down. We know that.
Yeah.
There's just so many phrases from game shows.
I feel like your list is running out.
I know. I think there's more. I just can't think of them right now.
Oh, so many, dude.
$1.
What is, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For
sure.
I am forgetting some, but I think there are more out there.
Yeah, there's a bunch. Final Answer.
Yeah, that's Final Answer.
One. That came from that show, right?
Yep. There's some from Family Feud, right?
Yeah. Phone a Friend.
Yeah.
You did, not Family Feud. It's taking about Who Wants
think,
to Be a
I think about game shows in general. Yeah. I thought we were just.
Yeah, we talked about the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, where the coughing thing, that was one of the biggest scandals. On Super Password 1988, a guy went on named Patrick Quinn, and he won $58,000, but turns out he was a fugitive on the run, wanted in three states.
Mm.
His name was Kerry D. Ketchum, and a viewer recognized him and tipped off the authorities.
His last name was Ketchum?
Yeah.
Kerry D. Ketchum? Well, Kerry, did you catch him? Who? Kerry D. Ketchum?
He was arrested.
What are you talking about?
Look what he looks like, dude. He looks like a guy on the run.
He was arrested when he showed up to claim his prize money.
Here it is. There's Kerry Ketchum. Different guy.
Oh, that's a
little more polished.
The guy with the beard's him.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's him. Super Password fugitive.
Cleaned up a bit.
Yeah. He he was spent 5 years in prison for faking his wife's death to collect a $100,000 insurance policy.
This guy's insane.
He was on there with Phyllis Diller.
Yeah. I gave him a hug. She's like, I hugged him.
In 2014, a Spanish model went on a game show where you have to guess a song, kind of like Name That Tune, and she used Shazam on her phone. She put it between her legs, and they caught her doing it on the show, and she had to turn it over while the show was going on.
Oh, really? Wow. They show that?
Yeah. You see it. She just laughs it off. I mean, she's just so embarrassed, I guess, but pretty crazy.
And then they let her keep playing?
I can't remember. I read that you would, like, here, that would be a huge controversy, but there they just kind of laughed it off, like, aha, you got caught, and it just kind of, like, I don't think it hurt her career that much.
Yeah.
A guy on the Australian version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire won the top prize, and he said he didn't know any of the answers. He just went off the host body language to figure out what the answer is.
On what?
On Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Like, he just would say them back to him.
Yeah, and or the host would read them, and he would just watch him and figure out how he did it.
That's crazy. I mean, is he like, you know, he's like, he's just going through and like apple, orange, banana,
pineapple,
and pineapple.
You go, poof, 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 banana.
C, final answer.
Final answer.
Yeah.
The famous one is on the, I remember that where, I think I was watching it live. Where the guy says, I'm going to call my dad.
Yeah.
And I think I remember because that was a, Who Wants to Be Married goes in and call my lifeline. Mm-hmm. He goes, Dad, I just want to let you know I won $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because Richard Nixon was on Laugh-In. I remember the question.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know, but probably.
He goes, Dad, I don't need your help. I just want you to know that I'm about to win $1 million. I mean, that's so.
And he hadn't used any lifelines.
Any lifelines at all.
Have you guys seen the movie Quiz Show?
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Do you know this? It's a true story about this guy on the game show 21. It's got John Turturro and Ray Fiennes, I think. And they were feeding them the answers. And this guy was a good-looking, popular guy. They wanted him to win because it helped the ratings for the show. So they were feeding him the answers. But it took over the country was behind it. Like, wow, watch this. They kept watching. And then when they found out that he was getting the answers, it was like a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like congressional hearings. He had to testify. Wow. It's a great movie.
Yeah, he caught him, like, right? Didn't he catch him or he played against him?
Who caught who?
What's the main, the actor, the two actors?
Ray Fiennes?
Yeah.
I think that's how you say his name.
Yeah. That's the guy that was the good looking guy.
Yes.
But the other guy, who?
John Turturro.
John Turturro, like.
He was played, his name was Herb Stemple, and he was great in it.
He was great in it.
They somehow convinced him to lose. They convinced him to lose, to miss a question on purpose. Mm-hmm. And he did, just so this guy could win. But he later testified before Congress about the whole game show rigging. It's a good movie.
Yeah. I need to go watch it again.
Yeah. Yeah, this does look good.
Yeah.
Never even heard of it.
Robert Redford directed it.
Oh. Who's that?
All right.
Sorry. I didn't know if you were serious or not.
No.
Okay.
No. You're not serious.
Right? I know who he is.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
All right. It might be the most scandalous. I don't know if it's scandalous. On The Dating Game, 1978, a serial killer was one of the contestants, and he won. His name is Rodney Alcala, and he went on as a successful photographer who got his start, at 13. But he was lying. He was the serial killer, and he won. He was going to go on a date with this woman, but she said she found him creepy, so she didn't go on the date with him. She canceled the date, but later they found out he was a serial killer.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, that's on. I don't know what you can show and what you can't, but all that's on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then we just go look it up. Like, that's...
Well, he's a handsome guy.
I mean, that's crazy to be, like, that confident. I guess, that makes you a serial killer. Like, you're like, I'll just go on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not... Shows you the two. When was this?
78, I think.
They just couldn't catch anything back then. I mean, like, they're... You could do whatever you wanted. I mean, was this before DNA? Like, before they... 78?
Way before it. Yeah.
When did that come about?
OJ trial.
Yeah. That was the first time.
First time I was using a major trial like that, right?
Oh, really? Yeah. I don't know.
And they, didn't they find his DNA all over the place? But he was just like, yeah, I live in that apartment.
It was planted there.
Oh, that's what they said? It was planted there?
Mm-hmm.
By Mark Furman?
No, yeah. The glove didn't fit, dude.
Oh, that's what they, and so the all the DNA was planted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they were using it in the late, looks like it's used in the late 80s, but I think part of the thing was they had to explain in the OJ trial, they had to explain like what this is. It was like it was that new of a thing.
Yeah.
That they had to describe what DNA is and all that stuff. Pretty crazy. Now it's just so DNA's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
I've told this before, but John Mulaney has a very funny joke about back before they knew, like, detective, there's a pool of the suspect's blood right here. Ooh, gross. Clean that up and then start searching for fingerprints.
Yeah.
There was a show called Money Drop where a family lost like a ton of money because they gave the right answer, but later people wrote in. They said they had the wrong answer, but people wrote in and said actually they had the right answer. It was like, what came first, Post-it notes, camcorders, or something else? And they said Post-it notes. And they were right, but the game show said they were wrong, and they lost their money until people wrote in and said, nope, they're actually right.
And you had to wait until someone wrote a letter.
Yeah.
It was probably months.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? Like, that's the idea of, like, we're reading people's comments, and these people just type it. You get pretty, like, quick comment, because it's like before you can even really probably think about what I should be doing or not saying, you print it out and then we read from Scotland, guy from Scotland.
Yep.
Crazy.
And then, but back then you had to sit there and write a letter out and mail it and then just never know if it gets, you know, I guess when you see these people win the money, but like how many times you're like, yeah, just never.
Yeah.
You never knew.
Before that, you just put it in a bottle and threw it in the ocean.
Yeah.
And just hope somebody
came back to your feet and you go, oh, I found a. You got this. The one day I threw a bottle is the same day I found a bottle. That's why I went and did it again. Did you ever open it? You go, not yet. I'm waiting. I try to find it. That's the day you find the message in the bottle. Then it goes, you would never believe this. I went out, found a message in the bottle. Like, that's crazy. Why were you out there? I threw a. 100 yards down, I threw a message in a bottle out, and then I went walking and found it. Man, that's crazy. You didn't open it? No. I don't think it's for me. It doesn't say it's not for, it says not for you on the bottle.
Same kind of bottle?
Same kind of bottle that you used? Yeah, I mean, there's only so many bottles. Coke bottle, I mean, that's dime a dozen.
It's a Coke bottle?
Yeah. Huh.
A plastic Coke bottle.
I was thinking glass, but that's even really bad. Plastic Coke bottle never makes it. I mean, just a plastic bottle. It just screws up and just
goes 2 feet.
He launches it and just flies behind him, and he had to finally get it out there. And then he never just immediately goes. I walked 100 feet down. Mine had a label on it when I threw it. This one didn't. And you go, wow, that's crazy, dude. Just an ongoing game with that guy. A Coke bottle. It barely gets out there.
It's so hopeless.
I mean, just
there's a hurricane coming in.
Yeah.
Throws it, just floats back to
he's just walking with his hands in his pocket. Uh oh. Mine had a label. This one did. I think I had a silver cap. This is a red cap.
There was a woman who lost her top when she came on down on The Price is Right.
Oh, yeah.
But they aired the show.
No, oh, really?
I mean, they covered it up.
Yeah.
But Bob Barker is very funny about it. I mean, he's.
He might have another one of Barker's beauties up here, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't see her.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I think we've asked this before, but what game show would you be best at?
Now I'm thinking more. I do great on a Celebrity Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Because all the
Kids Jeopardy.
The kids one, but the celebrities
are
a little harder than the kids. Yeah, the questions are easier when it's celebrities. So I feel like a god playing along with that. And then the regular ones, I don't even understand how I'm supposed to answer the question before the, and then the whole category is done.
Yeah.
Like I just understand how it works. Then I'm like,
They got all of them.
Yeah.
So you would say Celebrity Jeopardy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'd say.
I don't think I can do questions. I don't know,
it wouldn't, not a trivia show?
I mean, maybe Family Feud. Like, I might, you know.
Your family would do well on there, I feel like.
Yeah. Just, you get, we asked 100 people. If I'm like, it's 100 me's, then I should crush it.
Do you do well in Family Feud?
Do okay on it, yeah.
I can never think of
It's the answers. Panic.
Yeah.
It's the panic of having to, like, do the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the problem. I think I would do better than people would think I would do, but I also think, I could maybe do better than people think I could do, like, if I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but then I think there's a great chance I'm going to get knocked out immediately. Like, there's just such a heavy chance of just me not knowing the $100 one, but then I would know the rest, like, 8.
Yeah.
But then the $100 one's like, it's like some about Sia or something. I'm like, I don't know. It's just some.
With a singer?
Yeah. Like, it's like, it's like it's like a super easy one, you know? What's the girl's, you know, that has where it covers her face? Yeah. And then they're like, oof, like throw something in there, you know. I can't think of something. I'm like, Taylor Swift? And they go, see ya.
I read that they came up with Jeopardy. Merv Griffin, I think, created Jeopardy.
Oh, yeah?
And he was on a flight with his wife, and she said, if I said to you, I'm probably getting this all wrong, 5,280, what does that say to you?
Feet in a mile.
Mile, yeah.
Yeah, and how many feet are in a mile? And yeah. And then she's like, could that be a game show? Like, where I give you the answer, you got to come up with the question.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
His wife said that.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have TVs and stuff back then. Do you have to talk to your wife the whole flight?
Yeah.
And I mean, look, the way it worked out, but I mean, can you imagine the 500 ideas that she said?
That were right. Terrible.
Yeah. What about airplane trays? What if he did some of that? And he's like, he just sits there. What do you want to do with them? She's like, I don't know. They come down, come up. Maybe get it. How quick can you put yours up and come down? Could you take? What if it was like a game show where you like sit in an airplane seat and you're like, how quick can you take this air seat apart? And he's like, I don't. And he goes, I mean, you know. And he goes, it's like the same game over and over again. No, there's 100 seats on this plane. I don't understand what the problem is. He's just like, ugh. And then she does the Jeopardy one, and he's got to be like, no, she came up with it. Yeah. And then he goes, you have to sit through the 8,000 ideas I had to sit through.
Every episode's a different seat on the same plane.
Yeah, you sit in a different seat.
It's 100 episodes.
100 episodes.
That's syndication.
Syndication.
Right there. Yeah.
What do we do today? 40D, middle seat.
We'll be in Exit Rows pretty soon.
Whoa. That's a big episode. Celebrity Exit Rows. you get the celebrities in Exit Row. Let's see. Oh, a little bit farther bend. How fast you got to take that seat apart? One guy gets disqualified. He takes the seat in front of him apart, and he goes, "No, it's your seat. We were trying to go for it." Well, how am I going to do that? He goes, "That's the game. The game's the game."
There was a Zanies used to do a game show. I forgot what it was called. The one that Ben Sawyer hosted.
Perfect timing.
And Aaron and I were team members one time. Do you remember this?
I do.
And I came up with a system to win the. Do you remember this?
Like, no. I wasn't paying attention.
You go off like at the end. Your partner goes off stage, and then they ask you some questions, and then they have to come back on. I forgot what it was, but then you guessed somehow.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And I came up with this system. I was like, Aaron, we could if we do this, we can nail it. Mm-hmm. And then you, do you remember this? You screwed up you got the system mixed up.
No. Where can I back you? So you were trying to cheat.
I don't know. So this is Brian Bates, comedian.
This is back all
Aaron Weber. I don't know if y'all have met, but I mean, it seems like maybe you've done a lot of game shows on the Zanies.
So we tried to conspire before this last.
Yeah.
Okay. And I messed it up. How did I mess it up?
I forgot how you messed it up, but
what a story! What?
Well, I was hoping he would remember it.
I'm sorry.
If I'm not, if I don't make it, this is what you got to listen to. Is just that going? Remember? I think it was you, was it not? All right. Okay. Just thinking the whole time. I swear, you don't like Diet Coke. Okay. All right.
Well, I wish I hadn't brought it up, but I thought you'd remember this.
No, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Man. That was a good time.
What was your system?
Well, I can't remember. It was it the murder?
It was right. It was like hook up with, marry, kill game where you had to pick one. And we had some kind of system.
Some elaborate system. I say elaborate. I came up with, and I said, hey, if I say this, the answer is this, you know. Uh-huh. But then I think you got confused. And
Well, it's like you could just say, your system would be like, if the answer, you can ask the question, you could give them just the first letter of all your answers. What do you walk to? You're like, GLF. And then you go, when you hear this answer, you're gonna think of a G, and you know it's that.
Yeah.
Like you say something as y'all walk by each other.
I think he tried to set something up like that. Yeah. I don't remember this at all.
Yeah.
But
Rocky Dale Davis was on it.
I remember that part of it.
Yeah.
It was a great show to watch.
Brian and I played horse this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Basketball. He beat me probably 15 straight games of horse.
Really?
This guy could not miss. I was furious.
Yeah.
I was on fire.
He was on fire. I mean, he just kept picking it up and draining it. I go, what is going on right now?
From where? Do you go deep? Or
all around the perimeter, man. He was just, he was like rebounds, draining it.
Yeah.
And then the lights started to go out, and I was like, okay, now I'm going to start to win because Brian's
can't see at night.
Obviously, my eyes are a little better. He just kept draining it, dude. I was getting so mad. I finally just quit. I was like, I'm done, dude.
He would say, I don't know if it's 15 games, but he would say, let's play pig. And then I'd be PIG pretty quick. He's like, all right, let's switch it to horse. So he's HOR
just immediately.
And I was like, do it again. I gotta.
Did you win any game?
No.
Really didn't win.
He just wiped the floor with me.
Yeah.
I was so upset. I was getting mad because, Brian, you were even laughing. You're like, I don't know. You were draining every shot.
Yeah.
The zone.
But I started talking some trash.
Yeah, of course.
It was fun.
Of course he did.
I would just nail it. He'd come back to me and I'd just sit the ball down. And it's like, I can do this all night.
Yell out the letter before I was done shooting it. Yeah. He'd be like, H.
Yeah. Did you ever play basketball growing up?
I played through middle school. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that was it?
Yeah.
I mean, he was...
Middle school's already
first time
he
ever shot through a metal rim.
Well, it's because we shot granny shots and he couldn't replicate it. Peach basket?
You grew up playing baskets on the farm.
Yeah.
There was a...
He's like the 95-year-old where he could go back and go, I was in the same town of Naismith when he invented the game of basketball.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, oh, where are you? Yeah, I was there. I lived down the street from his, I worked with his dad.
there was an Amish guy that was watching us play, and there was an Amish family stay at our hotel.
Oh, dude. Should I tell the story?
Yeah, I think you should.
is the Amish family in the hotel, and there's, you know, there's a computer like
in the lobby,
in the
hotel.
Lobby, yeah. Like for a everyone little to business use. Center. And I'm walking past this Amish guy on the computer. He's got Google up, and he had just typed in girls.
I love it. He just starts from the beginning.
Yeah. He's not even looking on images. He's just got like the links, and he's just scrolling, having the time of his life.
He's like, yeah, that works out great for me. And if I've ever done it.
You need to get any more specific? No. Yeah.
Well, you got to start there and work your way down.
Not a picky guy. Someone just told me, I don't know if this sounds, I can't tell if it's a joke or they were talking about so many people from California are moving here in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, where my wife's mom and dad are, they both grew up there. And so they have a lot of Amish in that town and they're still there. So every time you go, we go drive to her dad's house. You just see the horse with the buggies and they're just everywhere. Mm-hmm. And, so someone from California, moved to Lawrenceburg because so many people were moving out here and they were like, they called 911 and said, it was abuse on the horse. And that's what their 911 call was for. It wasn't for like, I don't know, like a traffic thing or something. Yeah. It was like, they think it was abuse on a horse.
Whoa.
And they're like,
well, that makes no sense. They don't have horse in California that people like it makes,
I don't know. There's part of me that thinks that the story seems like it could be a joke.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not.
Yeah.
But I could also see it happening. Yeah. Like that's what, because that is what we picture when you think of someone from a big city moves and goes, look at this. How are they doing that? You know?
Right.
Yeah. But they think abuse is like, you know, I mean, they people get after the horse carriage.
Whipping it.
Yeah, and the horse carriage in Central Park, people don't like that. Mm. But I mean, this horse is like, it's what a horse is there for. He's being used for the real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way he's meant to be used.
Yeah. All right.
Well, this family was living it up in this hotel.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
They're having the time of their life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's got to be, I mean, that's fun. It makes that, that's so much more special for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. Is that all game show stuff?
I'm afraid so.
Oh, okay. That was it. All right. Talk to game shows, OJ, DNA. Don't know how we got related to that. And Amish.
Yeah.
If someone said, I mean, that's what someone could do is like just be, how could we talk about, the episode's called Game Shows. Yeah. And we talk about the OJ trial. Amish people Googling girls.
Title, game shows.
Title, game show. And you're like, well, that doesn't make... How do you get into those? You go, I don't even know.
No idea.
I don't even know.
I don't know if I could tell you.
There's no trail of breadcrumbs here, dude. We just kind of move on.
We did it. All right, everybody. That's it for us. That's it for us. Let's go, folks. thank you guys very much as always, and we will see you next week. See you. Thanks everybody for listening to the Nate Land Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Spotify, you know, wherever you listen to your podcast. And please remember to leave us a rating or a comment. Nate Land is produced by me, Nate Bargatze, and my wife, Laura, on the All Things Comedy Network. Recording and editing for the show is done by Genovations Media in partnership with Center Street Media. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to catch us next week on the Nate Land Podcast.